The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let's say together the opening collect. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. We read in Scripture, Lord, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. And as we can sing this morning, from Psalm 95, O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. Our first hymn, At the Name of Jesus. As we remain standing, let us make a confession of our faith. What do we believe? We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Our loving God commands us to love like him. Please be seated. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Lord, have mercy on us and write your law in our hearts by your Holy Spirit. We confess that we have failed to live up to his standards. Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, maker of all things, judge of all people, we acknowledge our many sins, which we have committed by thought, word, and deed against your divine majesty, provoking most justly your wrath and indignation against us. We earnestly repent and are truly sorry for our sins. The remembrance of them grieves us. The burden of them is intolerable. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. For your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us all that is past, and grant that from now on we serve and please you in newness of life, to the honour and glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of his great mercy has promised forgiveness of sins to all those who turn to him with true faith and repentance, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
You that truly and earnestly repent of your sins, and are in love and harmony with your neighbours, and intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God and walking from now on in his holy ways, draw near with faith. and take this holy sacrament to comfort you. To all that truly turn to him, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." The Apostle Paul said, "This is a true saying and worthy of all people to be received, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." And the Apostle John said, "If any person sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation or perfect offering for our sins." Because of that, the Bible says we can have peace with God, and we're able to say, "We are the body of Christ.
His Spirit is with us.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you."
And as I go to set up for communion, you might like to share that peace with each other. Now that restrictions have dropped, if you feel comfortable, you may approach people and say it, even shake hands. We can continue that over morning tea. That's better. We're able to have morning tea, which is really good. Let us now continue our service with these words. Lift up your hearts. And let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is very good, right, and our bounden duty that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty Everlasting God.
Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we praise and magnify your glorious name. My battery's just gone flat, so. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we praise and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Glory be to you, O Lord Most High. We do not presume to come to this your table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your many and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, in your tender mercy you gave your only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death on the cross for our redemption. He made there a full, perfect and sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world, and he instituted and commands us to continue a perpetual memory of his precious death until he comes again. Hear us, merciful Father, and grant that we, receiving this bread and wine, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood. On the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave to them, saying, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
Amen. Father, we who believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and have received these pledges of his love, thank you because you graciously feed us with the spiritual food of his body and blood. By this you assure us of your love and forgiveness, and that we and all your faithful people are true members of his body and of each other in him. Remember your church which you have purchased by his blood, and gather it in holiness into the kingdom you have prepared for it. Make us faithful witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ in his resurrection, that at his coming we may go out with great joy to meet him and be found worthy to worship you with all your saints for ever. David will now come and lead us in prayer.
Let us pray. The collect for the 8th Ordinary Sunday. Let us pray for true reconciliation with each other. Almighty and everlasting God, who by the suffering and death of your Son Jesus Christ established a new covenant of reconciliation. Grant that we who have been reborn into the fellowship of Christ's body may show forth in our lives what we profess by our faith. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, there is hardly a day that the tragic state of the world brings us to despair. We are assailed by the invasion of the Ukraine by the Russian armed forces. And so we pray that Putin will remove his troops and restore peace. We are aware of the ongoing and lasting impact of the coronavirus on lives throughout the world. The growing instability in our own area of the world arising from the aggressive posturing of the People's Republic of China and its claims on Taiwan. We see growing impacts of climate change, the hunger and instability in East Africa and in other parts of the world. So we pray, Heavenly Father, that in this time of uncertainty and distress, you would sustain and support the anxious and fearful, and lift up all who are brought low. At home, as we try to put the chaos of our broken world behind us, we come together before you, our God Almighty, to remember those whose suffering is far greater than ours, and to give thanks for our many blessings. Heavenly Father, we commend to your keeping those who are in need. We pray for those who mourn, and we remember particularly Jeff Glasick and family following the death of Val. We pray for the sick, both mentally and physically, those who are anxious and fear the impact of the COVID virus on their lives and those who they love. For the hungry and homeless in our cities, the oppressed and the dispossessed, those that mourn, the lonely and the unloved, the unemployed, those that live under the shadow of violence, drug abuse, sexual exploitation, and religious intolerance. We pray for those whose daily work exposes them to the COVID virus. We remember those working in hospitals, in care homes for the old, and pray particularly for the safety of Imogen Herberger. We remember those known to us who have asked for our prayers and those from this parish who are ill. And we pray for Graham Lowther, Vernon Ireland, Felicity Purdy, Judy McMahon, Fleur Fowler, Murray Holmes, and Margaret Roberts. Give them all, Heavenly Father, a firm trust in your goodness. Strengthen those that minister to them and bring us all into the joy of your salvation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray that we might always be mindful of the strangers in our midst, that we might look with compassion on those in our world who are vulnerable, especially migrants, refugees and asylum seekers. We remember the forgotten refugees who number hundreds, incarcerated on Manus, Nauru and within Australia. Give us hearts of compassion that we might work for their release. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
And now, Heavenly Father, we remember the blessings and mercies of this past week and thank you for them. For beauty observed, tasks completed, answers received, healing experienced, friendships enjoyed, the love returned, for opportunities taken. We thank you that above all, you are a loving, caring God who longs for an intimate relationship with each one of us. So, Father God, breathe your gentle spirit over the world. Protect our memories from the infection of hate, envy, and greed, that we may live free from fear and the evil that would separate us from you. May the light of Christ lead us out of the valley of the shadow of death onto paths of reconciliation, forgiveness, and peace. For the sake of the world your Son came to save. Amen.
Amen.
And we pray together now the words that Christ taught us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, David. Shall we stand and sing our next hymn, Bless the Lord, O My Soul? Would you like to be seated while Robin brings us our reading?
The reading can be found on page 750 in the Bibles provided. The vision of Obadiah. Thus says the Lord God concerning Edom, we have heard a report from the Lord, and a messenger has been sent among the nations. Rise up, let us rise against it for battle. I will surely make you least among the nations. You shall be utterly despised. Your proud heart has deceived you, you that live in the clefts of the rock, whose dwelling is in the heights. You say in your heart, who will bring you down to the ground? Though you soar aloft like the eagle, though your nest is set among the stars, from there I will bring you down, says the Lord. If thieves came to you, plunderers by night, how you have been destroyed. Would they not steal only what they wanted? If grape gatherers came to you, would they not leave gleanings? How Esau has been pillaged, his treasures searched out. All your allies have deceived you. They have driven you to the border. Your confederates have prevailed against you. Those who ate your bread have set a trap for you. There is no understanding of it. On that day, says the Lord, I will destroy the wise out of Edom and understanding out of Mount Esau. Your warriors shall be shattered, O Teman, so that everyone from Mount Esau will be cut off. For the slaughter and violence done to your brother Jacob, shame shall cover you and you shall be cut off forever. On the day that you stood aside, on the day that strangers carried off his wealth and foreigners entered his gates and cast lots for Jerusalem, you too were one of them. But you should not have gloated over your brother on the day of his misfortune. You should not have rejoiced over the people of Judah on the day of their ruin. and you should not have boasted on the day of distress. You should not have entered the gate of my people on the day of their calamity. You should not have joined in the gloating over Judah's disaster on the day of his calamity. You should not have looted his goods on the day of his calamity. You should not have stood at the crossings to cut off his fugitives. You should not have handed over his survivors on the day of distress. For the day of the Lord is near against all the nations. As you have done, it shall be done to you. Your deeds shall return on your own head. For as you have drunk on my holy mountain, all the nations around you shall drink. They shall drink and gulp down, and shall be as though they had never been. But on Mount Zion there shall be those that escape, and it shall be holy. And the house of Jacob shall take possession of those who dispossess them. The house of Jacob shall be a fire, the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau stubble. They shall burn them and consume them, and there shall be no survivor of the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken. Those of the Negeb shall possess Mount Esau, and those of the Shephelah, the land of the Philistines. They shall possess the land of Ephraim and the land of Samaria, and Benjamin shall possess Gilead. The exiles of the Israelites who are in Halah shall possess Phoenicia as far as Zarephath, and the exiles of Jerusalem who are in Sepharad shall possess the towns of the Negeb. Those who have been saved shall go up to Mount Zion to rule Mount Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Morning, everyone.
Morning.
Before I start reading what I've written, I'm constantly amazed, and I keep telling you how constantly amazed I am, how God provides the passages that we need to hear. I set the program out weeks before, sometimes months before, and if you had thought, gee, in light of what's happened this week, what passage would I preach on? God's given us Obadiah. You'll see how relevant that is as we continue. Now, back to the script. As you may have discerned by now, if you're a regular, I love movies. I particularly like those action movies where a villain gets his comeuppance at the end of the movie. Movies like that usually follow the same pattern. We spend a long time learning about how bad the bad guy is, so that by the end of the movie we feel justified in rejoicing at his demise. This week we have witnessed the outbreak of war in Ukraine due to the pride and arrogance of a real-life bad guy, Vladimir Putin. We join with the Ukrainians in eagerly awaiting his demise. The ancient Jews faced a similar catastrophe and looked forward to the demise of their bad guy, Edom. Like the saints in the Bible, we may find ourselves from time to time asking the question, why do the wicked prosper? Or the other question, how long, O Lord, before this bad guy is brought to justice? The book of Obadiah shows us the end of the movie, while reminding us of just how bad the bad guy really is and why he deserves everything he gets. But it's also a book of hope for those who wait on the Lord. It's a book that reminds us that while we're waiting, we need to trust and obey. Let us then pray that God will make us doers of the truth that he teaches us today. Heavenly Father, please open our minds to your truth, our hearts to your love, and our lives to the inspiration and motivation of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm sure we've all heard the saying, pride goes before a fall. That's the summary for the book of Obadiah. You can leave now if you want. No, don't. It's the shortest book of the Old Testament. Don't know if you knew that. It's also the book with the shortest introduction. We talked about Paul's introductions, which go on nearly longer than letters of John or James. But in this is the shortest introduction. Verse 1, the vision of Obadiah. That's it. It's a good book, straight to the point. The name Obadiah means servant or worshipper of God. He is not here to give his own opinion, like many of our news readers, which is really news opinions masquerading as news, but he is here to pass on to us the word of the Lord. He writes to give comfort to those who have suffered great injustice and are longing for the day when God will bring about his final judgment. The bad guy in this story is the nation of Edom. And whether or not Obadiah sees himself as the messenger, the fact remains, he is a messenger wearing the sandwich board. The end is near for Edom. An attack on Edom is imminent. And we know what that feels like with the tension of this past week between Russia and Ukraine. That's the sort of tension they were in, waiting, wanting to see this attack on their enemy. But where Russia was putting out disinformation, Obadiah is telling God's truth. The book comes in three sections. Verses 1 to 14 is about Edom. 15 and 16 is about all the other nations. And 17 to 21 is a message of hope for those who long for God's justice. So let's look at the first bit about Edom. Edom's past relationship with Israel was not good. Their conduct and behaviour towards Israel could be described as cruel and murderous. We've never seen that in another nation against nation conflict. And like a good FBI agent, Obadiah gives us a psychological profile which helps to explain the behaviour of Edom. In verses 2 to 4, I will surely make you least among the nations. You shall be utterly despised, for your proud heart has deceived you. You that live in the clefts of the rock, whose dwelling is in the heights, you say in your heart, who will bring me down to the ground? Though you soar aloft like an eagle, though your nest is set among the stars, from there I will bring you down, says the Lord. In his book, Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis says, the greatest sin of all is pride. Proverbs 6 has a list of things that God hates. Guess what's on the top of the list? First thing, pride. Later in his list of things that God hates is haughty eyes or arrogance. With a prideful arrogance akin to that of the makers of the Tower of Babel, Edom has built a name for itself as the most impenetrable fortress on earth. It proved to be a tough place to conquer with its defences built into the rocks. It was very hard to conquer. Its theme song could have been MC Hammer's You Can't Touch This. Nice to know some people still listen to the radio. The problem with pride is when it looks down on others or puts others down. Pride fails to look up to the transcendent, majestic and eternal God who is holy and loving and perfect. Pride says, I don't need God. I am God. Pride goes before a fall. And the bigger they are, the harder they fall. So you can write this sermon. You're nearly giving half of it now. God says, even if you could fly like an eagle, even if your nest or fortress, so to speak, was set among the stars, you know, sort of like the Death Star in Star Wars, from there I will bring you down. Even the kookaburras think that's hilarious. I brought you into this world, I can take you out as well, says God. Edom kept repeating the real estate mantra of location, location, location. But God is saying to Edom, you can't rely on your location to save you. Obadiah 5 and 6. If thieves came to you, if plunderers by night, how you've been destroyed, he's sort of jumping ahead to what he knows is coming, would they not steal only what they wanted? And if grape gatherers came to you, would they not leave gleanings? How Esau has been pillaged, his treasures searched out. God is saying, you can't rely on your wealth to save you either. What you have can be taken away. And you have so much that even thieves are only able to take away what they want, in other words, only what they can carry, because they can't carry away everything that you have. And gleaners, people who came to steal your grapes, they can't carry it all. They'd leave some left for you to keep. But God is able to take away all that you have and leave you desolate. In verse 7, all your allies have deceived you. They have driven you to the border. Your confederates have prevailed against you. Those who ate your bread have set a trap for you. There is no understanding of it. And God is saying to Edom, you can't rely on your allies to save you. You may think you have a great network of friends who will support and defend you, but God can use the very people that you trust to bring you down. They will betray you the same way you betrayed Israel. And it's an interesting use of the words, there is no understanding of it. Literally, you won't be able to understand it. It's possibly a slur against the reputation of Edom as a place where there was great wisdom. Apparently, Job's three wise friends came from Edom. Obadiah 8. On that day, says the Lord, I will destroy the wise out of Edom and understanding out of Mount Esau. God is saying to Edom, you can't rely on your wisdom to save you. God then says to Edom, you can't rely on your army to save you either. For in verse 9, your warriors shall be shattered, O Teman, so that everyone from Mount Esau will be cut off. Now we may feel comfortable when we read, we may feel uncomfortable when we read about God wanting to punish a nation for their wickedness. We don't like it when we see Joshua and the takeover of Canaan. We just don't like to hear about this awful stuff happening. And we may feel uncomfortable when we read about God wanting to punish a nation for their wickedness. But isn't there something within all of us that cries out for justice against such people as Hitler, Stalin, perhaps now Putin, to name a few? Now, you know, we may think all these people really need is a gentle correction, a little guidance, a bit of counselling, maybe some economic sanctions, perhaps a call to repentance like God gave to Nineveh through his reluctant prophet Jonah. But these people have had many centuries to change their ways, at least the people of Edom, and yet rather than improve, they grew worse and their cruelty to others increased. And to add insult to injury, they were technically part of the family of God. Throughout the scriptures, Edom is referred to as a brother to God's people. But God is saying to Edom, well, you can't rely on your genealogy to save you either. In fact, 1 Peter 4:17 tells us, judgment begins with the household of God. So in Obadiah 10:14, we learn that Edom stood by and watched while their brother Jacob was destroyed. They'd taken the side of Jacob's enemies. It was as if Edom had done the damage itself by failing to lift a finger to prevent it. When Obadiah refers to the day, it was that day in 587 when Jerusalem was overthrown by the Babylonians and God allowed his temple to be destroyed. So in verses 10 to 12, for the slaughter and violence done to your brother Jacob, shame shall cover you, and you shall be cut off forever. On the day that you stood aside, on the day that strangers carried off his wealth, and foreigners entered his gates and cast lots for Jerusalem, you too were like one of them. But you should not have gloated over your brother on the day of his misfortune. You should not have rejoiced over the people of Judah on the day of their ruin. You should not have boasted on the day of his distress. Indeed, they ended up joining in the pillaging and destruction of their brother. In verse 13 to 14, you should not have entered the gate of my people on the day of their calamity. You should not have joined in the gloating over Judah's disaster on the day of his calamity. You should not have looted his goods on the day of his calamity. You should not have stood at the crossing to cut off his fugitives. And you should not have handed over his survivors on the day of his distress. How bad is this bad guy? Don't you long to see his demise? Some scholars refer to documents outside of the Bible, which might indicate that though it was the Babylonians who knocked down the temple, it might have actually been the Edomites who set fire to it in order to completely destroy it. Such was their arrogant opposition to the God of Israel, to the God who'd made them. And they were part of that family as brothers to Israel. All that we read about Edom here in the book of Obadiah tells us the exact opposite of what we read in the parable of that Jesus told of the Good Samaritan. In that parable, a stranger and foreigner doesn't walk by on the other side when he sees a man who's been beaten up and left for dead, but rather he helps the injured man. Yet here we find Edom, the brother of the injured man, walks over and kicks his brother while he's down and takes what little is left. Our complaint should not be, why does God punish Edom? Why does our loving God inflict punishment on Edom? That should not be our question. Our question should rather be, why did God wait so long to bring about his justice upon them? Part two, about God and the other nations. Edom is not unique. God will judge all the nations on the same basis. Those who reject his love and forgiveness by remaining proud and arrogant will all likewise perish. Obadiah 15, as you have done, it shall be done to you. Your deeds shall return on your own head. This probably could be seen as the corollary to the golden rule. Do to others as you would have them do to you. That's in a good way. This is saying that the bad things we've done that we thought we might have got away with will actually come back to bite us in the end. I don't know which end, but anyway. Quite a contrast to the words of Jesus in Matthew 25, where he tells us that the good deed we do to even the least of his people, is like doing that good deed to him, and we will be rewarded for that. Here Obadiah is saying that the opposite is also true. The bad deeds we do to others, especially God's family, will come back as their own punishment on us, as if we'd done them to God himself. In other words, we reap what we sow. And we could say, as some have said, our past will determine our future, or perhaps our future will pay back our past. But this is not mindless karma. This is the decree of our righteous judge, who also has the ability to step in and change the equation so that we can avoid judgment. All we must do for that to happen is repent and return to the Lord our God and accept his forgiveness. Part 3, a message of hope. Israel can now look with hope towards the judgment of all their enemies. These words are directed to Edom and to all who are proud and arrogant. Obadiah 16, for as you have drunk on my holy mountain, all the nations around you shall drink. They shall drink and gulp down and shall be as though they had never been. Those who want to be remembered in history will be forgotten. Those opposed to God may drink in celebration, but God has another cup from which they will drink, the cup of his wrath and judgment. And this cup of God's judgment will bring about their end. But we are forced to ask, what hope is there for us? Can anyone be saved from this coming wrath? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Enter Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world by drinking the cup of God's wrath on our behalf. You might remember on the night before he died, Jesus asked God, his Father, to take this cup from him, to find another way to save the world. But the cross was the only way to pay the penalty for our sin. It was the only way to save us from God's judgment. And so Jesus took that cup and drank it down to the very dregs. He took the punishment we deserved and gives us eternal life as God's gift of grace. And as we've remembered this morning, also on the night before he died, Jesus took another cup and he asked his disciples to drink from that. This cup symbolized the blood that he would shed for their forgiveness. And the church has continued to practice this, continued that practice to this very day, as we've joined in this morning. For those who reject God's offer of forgiveness and eternal life, the cup of wrath remains theirs to drink. For those who accept God's offer of forgiveness and eternal life, the cup of fellowship with God is ours to drink. From which cup will you drink? Obadiah gives us that glimpse of heaven, that glimpse of the redeemed who accept God's love and forgiveness, who drink from God's cup of fellowship. Verse 17, but on Mount Zion there shall be those that escape, and it shall be holy, and the house of Jacob shall take possession of those who dispossess them. Good things will come. The day of the Lord will bring both justice and restitution. Everything will be restored. Everything will be as it should be, as the rest of the scriptures tell us. For those who truly belong to God, this is what will be. As Romans 28 says, all things will work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So Mount Zion here in this passage symbolizes the place that God chose to dwell with his people. It is the place where sacrifices were made to put us right with God. It is the place where the once for all sacrifice for sin was made, the place where Jesus died. Mount Zion describes the site of the new Jerusalem that will come down out of heaven, where God will dwell with his people forever and ever. So Obadiah 21, those who have been saved shall go up to Mount Zion to rule Mount Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. So how do we apply this ancient book to our modern lives? By remembering what the Bible says is what God says. And by remembering that what God said to his people in the past is still relevant to his people in the present. This means that what God says to Edom, he says to us. Pride goes before a fall. If we reject the love of God, then there is nothing that we can rely on to save us. We can't rely on our location in the North Shore Bible Belt to save us. We can't rely on our wealth or our social status to save us. We can't rely on our allies or our fake friends on Facebook to save us. We can't rely on our wisdom or our intellect to save us. We can't rely on our army or our earthly defense system to save us. We can't rely on our genealogy or on the faith of our ancestors to save us. Only Jesus can save us when we put our faith and trust in him. We may want the day of the Lord to come on others whose surnames begin with P, but we need to be careful not to judge others as if we were the judge, jury, and executioner. The Bible says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. We may want the day of the Lord to come on others. But we might need more time to repent before God brings his righteous judgment upon our own lives. I don't think we can read this book without asking ourselves the question, do we have a problem with pride? Do I have a problem with pride? Remember, James 4 reminds us that God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. We have to ask ourselves the question, are we arrogant about how we can run our own lives? For again, James 4 reminds us that if we plan our lives with no thought as to God's will, saying we'll do this and we'll do that and we'll make money, then all such boasting is evil. So the question remains, how are we different to the people of Edom or to Putin? What we have should be a source of thanksgiving, not a source of pride. When we pray, come Lord Jesus, what is the focus of that prayer in our minds? Is it the end of our suffering? Is it to end our suffering and bring in the new world of peace and love? Or is it to end the lives of our enemies and bring judgment upon those who hurt us? Obadiah actually gives God's people real hope that both will occur on the day of the Lord. Edom was indeed judged by God as a nation, and they are no more. But we still wait for the final day of the Lord when Jesus will judge the earth and restore creation to its former glory. How will we live as we wait for that day? In my research, I listened to the Reverend Ian Powell, and this is how he concluded his sermon on Obadiah. He compared the message of this book with the message at the end of another book entitled The Count of Monte Cristo. That book concludes with the words, "Has the Count not just told us that all human wisdom is contained in just these two words?" Do you know what they are? Have you read the book? Wait and hope. That was the message that Obadiah gave to the people of Israel. And that is the message that God is giving to us today as his people. Wait and hope. Trust and obey. Let's pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, while we may prefer to read the nice passages of Scripture that talk about love and kindness and healing, we thank you for the reminder today that you are a just judge and that we can put our trust in you as we leave our desire for vengeance with you. Thank you also for the challenge to review the way we deal with our own pride and arrogance, and thank you for the hope we have of a world where all the bad things will be finally taken away and we can enjoy our eternal life of loving fellowship with you in the New Jerusalem, where you will dwell with us. May your word continue to disturb the comfortable and comfort the disturbed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The spot. We were anticipating having Julie here this week to do her final farewell tour. Her housemate came down with COVID and she is isolating yet again. That's correct, isn't it? She's probably come back positive or something. Negative, but hopefully negative. Yeah, but haven't heard. But we've scheduled her in for March 20. So we'll have an opportunity then again to have Julie with us. As we heard this morning in the prayers that David gave us, Valerie Glasick, wife of Jeff Glasick, had a funeral notice in yesterday's Sydney Morning Herald, and we do pray for the family as they mourn her loss. For those who don't know, Jeff Glasick was a
assistant minister here.
How long ago?
Back with the Hendersons.
Back with the Hendersons.
Yes.
Right, there we go.
From 20 years. Yeah.
Right, is there any more?
Yes.
Good. Do you want to say any more about this?
Well, come all. And it's lovely to see Sally because about the first time I ever met her was at the World Day of Prayer at Longaville, I think. So, do come next Friday at
10:30?
Yes, 10:30. Welcome Michael and Prue, who'll be speaking to us, and the members of Longaville and the Catholic Church and the Presbyterians, all of the churches around the Lankove region. I look forward to seeing you here at 10:30.
Good.
Yes. Well, the question of morning tea, I'll talk with Heather yesterday. When we made all our plans, morning tea was verboten. Robin has offered to help with morning tea if it's on, but I'll let you know. She may say, well, we've said there's no morning tea, so there will be no morning tea, but I'll let you know after tomorrow.
We'll bring 5 loaves and 2 fish and see what happens.
Yes.
Okay, next week is the week.
The week.
Gee,
Tuesday, Wednesday.
Time flies when there are wars around. So yes, we have the annual general meeting on and we have nearly everything we need to make that happen smoothly. I'm just looking for 2 more suckers or volunteers to be on the... No, we need very capable, willing and loving, godly people to be in the useless role of parish nominator because I'm not going anywhere unless God takes me out.
So Tuesday night.
Tuesday night is...
No, I don't have that there. No, but you can tell us about it.
Tuesday is...
Shrove
Tuesday. We're going to have the Bible study groups combined together at around 7 o'clock because they're meeting about that time anyway to eat and talk. So we'll do our... Are we?
Well,
we're just talking. just eating.
We normally it's more like 7:30, but I'm sure
we'll know. Well, people have been coming at 7, haven't they, Christine?
Yeah.
Trying to. We're going to try and start our pancakes at 7, so we can all do that together, and then we can go back to our different groups. So that's tonight. If you've got nothing better to do and there's nothing on TV, come and join us. Ash Wednesday is going to be a service, two services. One will be the Grey Matters meeting will turn into an Ash Wednesday service. So that's around 10 o'clock or thereabouts. And then at night, another service around 7 p.m. For those who work or just would rather come at night. And we've done that every year, and that's a good time for those of us who turn up. So then there's annual general meeting, and I haven't got a list of birthdays. Anyone birthday this week, month? Too embarrassed to say, all right, okay. They're good for you. The more you have, the longer you live.
Mark looks as if he's...
Mark's got something to say. Ah, that's right, he's got good stuff. Come on, Mark.
I'm sure most of you know David Ray. He's stood in for Eric quite a few times and sends out daily devotionals online. Well, Sharon was a little worried that he hadn't sent one for a couple of days, so she emailed him, and it turned out that he was in hospital. He'd had a brain bleed. And I have to say, the first thing I have to say is he listened to his wife and he went to hospital, and they said it was good that they got there early. So he was operated on Thursday. Sharon went to take a card up yesterday and they said, oh, go and see him. So she went and saw him and spoke to him, and he's in good spirits. He seems okay. He wanted to be remembered to us all. And of course we send her our prayers, and he seemed to be in good spirits. The sad news is that we don't think he'll be able to come and preach anymore. That's what you heard too, yeah. So he won't be standing in for Eric anymore.
Did he say anything about his daily Bible readings?
No, he didn't. No, and
I imagine he has so many there, he can recycle them.
I imagine that he'll keep going with that sort of thing. So that was just an update.
Thank you.
Want to pray for David?
Let's pray for David. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your faithful servants in every age, but we do thank you especially for David Ray and for the benefit that he has brought to many lives, especially those who look forward to that reading in the morning. We pray for him, for his health. Thank you that you did get him to the hospital in time, and that surgeons have done their work well. We pray for a good recovery, speedy recovery, full recovery. We pray that you would return him to the faithful ministry that you've given him, and that he might remain faithful and true to you, and a good example to us, and encouragement to all those in the faith as we walk together with the Lord through these difficult days. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And while we're having updates on people's health, Felicity has moved to rehab in Chatswood. She's not taking visitors yet, but things are looking up. The worst part is that they've taken the morphine patches off, and she's going through an awful time. But her sons are trying to convince her that this too will pass.
Okay, and that should bring us to the end of the service. And are there any other announcements people had that we haven't given? All right, then we shall continue. Why don't we stand together as we have this blessing, and then we go out to morning tea.
Yes.
So may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen.
Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ.
Amen. Amen.